chapter 24, verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said to his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife to my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But you shall go to my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said to him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land, lest I needs bring thy son again to the land from whence thou came. And Abraham said to him, Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. And the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spoke to me, and that swear to me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow you, then thou shalt be clear from this oath, only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning the matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, and all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of evening, even the time the women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me a good speed this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, Drink, and I will give your camels drink also, that the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass before he was done speaking that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, Drink, my lord. And she hastened, let down the pitcher upon her hand, and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for the camels also, until they have done drinking. And she hastened and emptied her pitcher into the trough, and ran again to the well of the water, to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the animals had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of a half shekel weight and 2 bracelets for his hands of 10 shekels of weight of gold, and said, Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover to him, We have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. He said, Blessed be the Lord God of Abraham, my master, who has not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran up to the man and to the well. It came to pass, when he saw the earring and the bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, Thus spoke the man to me, that he came to the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou outside, or without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat, and he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, Speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. And to him has he given all that he has. And my master made me swear, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell. But you shall go to my father's house and to my kindred and take a wife to my son. And I said to my master, Peradventure the woman will not follow me. He said to me, The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way, and you shall take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear of this my oath. Then that when thou comest to see my kindred, and if they give not thee one, you shall be clear of my oath. And I came this day into the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin comes forth to draw water, and I say to her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink, and she say to me, Both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels, that the same be the woman whom the Lord has appointed out of for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with a pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down into the well and drew water. And I said to her, Let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, Whose daughter art thou? And she said, The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah had bare to him. And I put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hand. And I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, The thing proceeds from the Lord. We cannot speak to you bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before you. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, and he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, Send me away to my master. And her brother and her mother said, Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10. After that she shall go. And he said to them, Hinder me not, or delay me not, seeing the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, We will call the damsel and inquire of her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said to her, Wilt you go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, the nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, You are our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah rose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well of Lahai Roy, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, What man is this that walks in the field to meet us? And the servant said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Seems like a long chapter, but there's a lot of repetition of the words in here. So we'll go back and now see what. Notice what it says in the first verse. And Abraham was what? Do you think he's really talking about somebody just getting old and gray-haired? He's talking about Abraham being mature and having knowledge and wisdom of God, like we were talking this morning about experience of life. Okay? And if we're going to be Abraham's seed, guess what we must do? We must come to maturity and come to a place where we experience life and learn from those experiences. We don't get bitter because of the experiences, but we get better. The experience will make us a much better person if we don't get bitter about it. And he was well stricken in age, but first it said he was old. Now, if saying old was talking about years, why did he say he was well stricken in years? Because it'd mean the same thing, wouldn't it? He's talking about his maturity, and he had age on it. And the Lord, the Father, had blessed him in what? Didn't say he blessed him in some things. There are some things I guarantee you Abraham didn't want to go through. But he went through them, and he says in his writings that he was blessed in all of them. That tells me that that mind that wrote this said, God is in all things. He's behind all things. So we should give thanks in all things, as it says. And Abraham said to his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, or I pray you, thy hand under my thigh. What's it really say? Really it's saying, make a covenant with me. Put your hand under my thigh and promise me that you're not going to do except what I tell you. Promise me you're going to obey me. That's what he's really wanting him to say. And what did God say in his word? He said, I would rather have obedience than sacrifice. See, I can do all the things in the world, but if I'm not obedient to my Father, it don't mean a thing. I can give everything I got to the poor, go out and volunteer for anything anybody wants me to do, but if it's not what my Father told me to do, I have no reward in that. And that's where the scripture comes from, people that don't understand it, where it says, in that day the Lord will say, depart me, you workers of iniquity. What did he call iniquity? They're going to say, but many will say in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied, healed the sick, cast out demons? That's the thing the church world says is the greatest thing in the world. And God says, it's iniquity because I didn't tell you to do it. You're doing it all on your own timing. And do what he tells you to do. I guarantee you when Jesus walked as a man upon this earth, he walked by people that were sick and dying, and he did not stop the process because he says, I only do what my Father told me. Not what an organization tells me or not what a man's doctrine tells me, but what Father tells me to do. And so you're going to be different when you walk this way. You're not going to be accepted by everybody. That's okay. He says, whoever he calls, he equips. So you don't have to worry about whether you can do it or not. If God calls you, you've got it taken care of. That's called faith. In the third verse, it goes on, says, I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you should not take a wife unto my sons and the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. He says, I will make you swear by Father, Yahweh, God, the Elohim of heaven and the Elohim of the earth. Absolutely, it's the sons of God, by the Spirit of God. He said, you'll not take a daughter from the Canaanites in whom I dwell. First question comes to my mind, what you doing dwelling amongst the Canaanites? That's the question that comes to my mind. What's he doing? Why didn't he go back to his country where he came from? Anybody got an answer for that? No? No? Because God told him to get out of there. He just obeyed what God told him. He got out of his country, away from his father's house, away from his kindred, where God told him to go, and God never told him to go anywhere else. He didn't tell him to go back over there. So he had enough sense to stay where he was until God told him to move. Okay. So he's there, and he said, I don't want you to take a wife from here. Now, this is the scripture that many people misquote, misunderstand when it says that you should marry your own kind. We're not talking about races. We're talking about believers versus unbelievers. Okay? We have to realize that God's telling us, if you're going to marry someone who is an atheist and you're a believer, tell me what kind of struggles you're going to have. It's hard enough for us to live, take two different thought processes in a house when we don't both believe the same way. A house divided can't stand, can it? It makes it difficult. God said, if you're going to make it easier on yourself, at least get someone that's walking the same course you're walking. Okay? So he says, you shall go to the country of my kindred and take a wife for my son Isaac. And what does Isaac's name mean? Everybody says laughter, but yes, there's another meaning, mockery. And if you don't think being a son of God, you're going to be mocked, you're kidding yourself. Was Jesus mocked? Every other prophet mocked? Well, if you understand this ahead of time, it's not going to be a laughing matter. It's going to be tough. But if you know it ahead of time, it's not so bad. You can make it. And the servant said to him, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I need to bring her son to the land from whence you came? Now tell me what was working in the servant's mind immediately when he said, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me. Doubt and unbelief. So, you know who was our servant, our natural man that keeps trying to run us into the ground, bringing that doubt and unbelief to us? And Abraham said, beware that you bring not my son there again. In other words, don't do it. Don't take my son back to where he started from. See, I don't want to go back to the Garden of Eden. Hello? I don't want to go back there and start, because that's not my start. My start was before the foundation of the world. And he goes on and said, Abraham goes and says this, the Lord God of heaven, the Yahweh Elohim of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, right, or my nativity, and which spoke to me and that swear to me, saying, to your seed will I give this land. He shall send his messengers before you, and you shall take a wife to my son from there. Now notice what he said. Abraham said that the Yahweh Elohim, that's the first fruits, that's the sons of God, took him from his father's house, away from his nativity, okay, and which spoke to him. Now I know today many people don't think God speaks. Well, God has not got old and decrepit. He still speaks. Jesus alluded to the same thing when he said, my sheep will hear my voice, and the voice of another they will not follow. He's talking about hearing the Spirit of God from within, not from without. The church world keeps you focused on something external when God is internal, and that's where he speaks from. And he said, and if the woman will not be willing to follow you, then you shall be clear from this oath, only bring not my son there again. He clarified, he made it sure he heard it. Don't do it again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, or literally he made the covenant, okay? He made the covenant and swear to him concerning the word. The last word there for matter is the word dabar, which means word. So he spoke to him and said, he made the covenant and swear to him concerning all the words that Abraham had said to him. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. Now, the servant, who do you think this is? Who's the servant? Okay, it's the Spirit of God. He took 10 camels. What's 10? The law. And he took the law from his master and departed, because all the what? All the goodness of his master was in what? His hand, or in his what? His work. He's saying all the goodness of God was in this servant's hand. He was to do good things. Okay? God things. And he arose and went to where? Mesopotamia, which speaks of duality, two rivers, two sources, to the city of Nahor, which means sleeping or snoring. So he went back to a place of duality with a lot of people walking around asleep. That's the carnal mind. That's the carnal mind. And he made his beast to kneel down outside the city by a well of water. Wonder what well that might be. What would the well be? It's Christ. He's the source of all things. He is the well. Okay? That same, you can go to John 4 and find out he was the well that was setting on the well. Okay? And it was at the time of evening, at the time that women go out to draw water. Now, what does the time of evening mean to you in Scripture? What significance would it have to you? What? Well, Ed said it right. It's the start of the day. It's a time when women, what's the women begin speak of? The soul. It's a time when your soul begins to thirst and go after that provision. Okay? It's talking about a thing in our life whenever my soul finally says, hey, it's time to find my provision, my provider in God, in this well. So she goes out to draw the water. And what's the water? The Word of God. That's when the soul will be, really turns and goes to get the Word of God. And he said, Yahweh Elohim of my master Abraham, I pray you, send me good speed this day and show me kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I will stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw. Now, do you think he's laying a fleece out? He's laying something out that says, this is how I'll know it's the right one, because you're supposed to do this, this, and this. I don't think that that's what we should do, okay? This is used as a teaching purpose. I don't think we should say, okay, God, I'm going to cut a deal with you. And that's kind of what he was doing, wasn't it? He was cutting a deal. Okay, God, I'm going to stand right here, and you're going to bring that woman to me. I'm not looking for deals, and I don't think God cuts deals with anybody. Because it says his plans and purpose will prevail, not mine. If God cuts a deal with me, then he just changed his mind, he lied. And I don't believe he does that. He does what he has already set up to do. And let it come to pass that the girl to whom I say, let down your pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give your camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed. Well, some of these words are added. When it says, I will give your camels drink also, she is the one that has you have appointed for your servant Isaac. So it says, let the same be. That's not, those languages are added. If you look at it, they're italicized, aren't they? Some of those words aren't supposed to be there. Just confusing. And thereby shall I know that you have showed kindness to my master. And it came to pass before he had done speaking that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. What's it saying? Rebekah is the one that means what? Ensnared by beauty. She's so beautiful, she just ensnares. She just overwhelms you by her beauty. And she was born of Bethuel, who is what? A man of God, dweller in God. The son of Milcah, the queen. The wife of Nahor, the sleeping one, Abraham's brother, okay? And her pitcher upon her shoulder. What would you think that would all speak about? He was the responsible one out of all this production. Responsibility and strength. She's the one carrying the responsibility of everything. And didn't the seed of God come from her? But it came through that line to her. And the damsel or the girl was very good to look upon. A virgin. Neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. Now, we're talking about a virgin. Do you think we're talking about the physical aspect of being a virgin, really? In Revelation, I think it's in Revelation 12 or 14, one of the two, you can look at the stuff later and see. But it says there's 144,000 that had their father's name written in their forehead, God's nature written in their mind, the mind of Christ. And it said they were not defiled with man. Or not defiled with women, excuse me. They were virgins. They were not defiled by women or the soulless realm of the church. And what do you think this is here? She's not defiled by man. What man do you think she's talking about? The natural man had not defiled her. So we're not talking necessarily about the physical body. What are we talking about? The thinking process has not defiled the mind yet. This is the bride of Christ. Isn't it? Isn't Isaac a type of Christ? And this is the type. This is the type of the bride of Christ. And she had, man had not known her, and she went down to the well. She humbled herself and drew from him, and filled her pitcher. And she did what? Kind of like the first miracle he did. He turned the water into wine. And it said, when you fill the water pot to the brim, what happens? It turns to wine. And that's of what? An elevation, right? She was elevated by what she put into her vessel, by the word. She came up or arose. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hastened and let down her pitcher upon her hand, again her work, showing her what she was doing, and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have done drinking. And she hastened and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again to the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. Now, the word camel here, what is it really? It's beast. Now, notice this. We are all servants of God, right? Was Jesus not a servant? Okay. And all of his, and he purchased everybody, right? This is a shadow and type of all humanity. Now note this. When Rebekah drew the water, she didn't draw it just for the man of God. Who'd she draw it for? Every beast on the face of the earth. See, some people can't drink the same water. The same water that some people can drink will choke others. They can't handle it. But she drew it and poured it into the trough for the ones that couldn't handle it. The ones under the law, the 10 camels that they brought along, All are drinking from a trough. And I think we can all relate to that trough and feeding them in a trough. We can relate to that. We've been there. And the man was astonished at her and was silent to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Now, after the man laid out the fleece and then God fulfills it to the letter, he still wonders. That's the process of humanity. We still doubt God. We can say, I believe everything God says until a situation arises. And we'll step right back in that same thing, which we shouldn't do, but we do. He's showing you here that humanity is imperfect, will always be imperfect. Only the spirit within us is perfect. Okay. This is just temporary. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hand of 10 shekels weight of gold. What did he just do right there? He took and marked her. He put gold on her ear. What does that represent? He let her now begin to hear the voice of God. And he put gold upon her wrist for her hand. Now her works from this point on, she's been marked as being a servant of God. This is a woman or a soul that has been redeemed. Okay? Whose soul is that? All. They're redeemed, whether they know it or not. Haven't come there yet, but they're redeemed. So he put the earring, which is the hearing, and the two bracelets on her hands, 10 shekels of gold. Now listen to this. At the time this came down, there was no new covenant. Guess what was there? The law. Okay. So the law has to come first before the true liberty. She was chosen to be the bride of Isaac the Christ, but she had not had the intimacy and relationship with him yet. So she still got those 10 shekels on her. Although it's God, but it's the law, and it says in Galatians that we're all under the schoolmaster until a time appointed of the Father. See, there's a time here for her to come into this, and this is the time she's starting to come in. She's still under it, but she's on her way now. She's going to take a journey and cross a lot of desert before she gets to her man Isaac. Do you think it's any different in your life when God puts those bracelets on you and that golden earring on you where you can hear? Do you think it's a short journey then? I know most of the church world thinks it's over with, but that's just the beginning of the journey. Okay? And he said, whose daughter are you? Tell me, I pray thee. Is there room in your father's house for us to lodge in? And she said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the man of God, the son of Milcah, the queen, which she bare unto Nahor, the sleeping one. She said, moreover to him, we have enough straw and food, or feed, enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshiped God. And he said, blessed be the Lord God, the Yahweh Elohim of my master Abraham, who has not left destitute my master of his, what? Kindness and truth, not mercy, but kindness. I, being in the road, or on the road, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things, these words. Now, why did she not run to her father's house? No, she ran to her mother's house. She's still under the law. She hasn't come to liberty yet. When a man becomes of age, he's no longer under that discipline, is he? But see, we have to realize at this point, we're still under Father's direction, under his timing, and we're under the church realm until time appointed of the Father. And this is what it's showing us here. Okay, verse 29, right? And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban, which means white or righteous. And Laban ran out to the man to the well. He ran to the man. Why did he run to the man for? I think he recognized something that was said about, come see a man. Come see the man of God. There's a man of God here. I think Rebekah knew that, and I think she probably conferred that with her family. And it came to pass when he saw the earring and bracelets on his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus spoke the man to me, that he came to the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, come in, you blessed of the Lord. Why stand you outside? Because I have prepared the house and a place for the camels. Didn't Jesus say that? Come to the door, about to knocking at the door, and he said, another place to talk about, I'm going to prepare a place. We can all be together. There's room in my Father's house. Plenty of room. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded, or he loosed his camels. He loosed them. What do you think that was? He released the natural man from his responsibility. You know what happened there? There had to be a crucifixion coming there. Because the crucifixion is what finished it, wasn't it? The last words he said was, it's finished. And he gave them feed for the camels and water to wash his feet and the men's feet that were with him. What did he give us? What did Christ do when he crucified? He said, you're washed by the water of the word. And he wanted to wash the people's feet, and Peter jumped up and said, no, you don't wash mine. He said, no, I said, you don't wash that, you're not part of it. He said, well, then wash my head too. But now you're already clean by the words I've spoken to you. We've got to realize this word will do the work. It'll clean us up. And there was set before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told my errand. And he said, speak on. When I hear that, all these things going on, remember what Jesus said? I will not eat with this again until I do it with you in the kingdom. I see this as being a type of the Christ here again. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. Abraham's name means what? Father. He said, I'm a servant of God. That's what he's saying. And the Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. And he has given him flocks, or he's given him herds of sheep and goats. And remember the parable Jesus gave about the sheep and the goats? He said the sheep were on the right and the goats were on the left, but he didn't say the goats wasn't his, did he? They're still his. They have their reward, but they just don't have the same one as the sheep, that's all. Just a difference of reward. And he said, the meat was set before him. He said, I will not eat until I have told my errand. He said, speak on. I went on back to him. Excuse me. Backed up. Okay, the herds. He gave him goats and sheep and herds of cattle and silver and gold. Silver and gold speaks of redemption for silver, gold for the nature of God. And men servants, maid servants, camels, and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and to him has he given all that he has. Who has all that he has? The sons of God. It started first with Jesus. He received everything that God had, but all these are here are talking about the man, the Christ, who received all his Father had. Correct? When Abraham gives up everything, later on, we'll see it in a few chapters on down here, that Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac, but to the rest of his sons of the concubines, and the half-brothers of Isaac, he gave gifts. Okay, so in the Passover and Pentecostal realm, they are satisfied with one thing, gifts. I am not satisfied with gifts. I want my full inheritance. I want the best he's got. I want all that he's got. And that's one thing you can be greedy about. But he said, seek ye the best. I want it all. I don't want to be shorted on anything. I want everything he's got. If it means I got to pay a price for it, what you got to do? You pay the price. You don't squabble over it. You just pay the price and go on, because it's well worth it. And my master made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. You know how easy it would have been for him to pick up a woman there? Real easy. But you shall go to my father's house and to my relatives and take a wife for my son. And I said to my master, perhaps the woman will not follow me. And he said to me, the Lord before whom I live will send his messenger with you and prosper your way, and you shall take a wife of my father's, of my relatives and of my father's house. Then shall you be clear of this oath. Then when you come to my family or relatives, and if they give you not one, then shall you be clear of my oath. And I came this day to the well and said, O Lord God, Yahweh Elohim of my master Abraham, if now you do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of the water. And it shall come to pass that when the virgin comes forth to draw water, I say to her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of a pitcher to drink. And she say to me, both drink you, and I will also draw for your camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord has appointed out for my master's son. And before I had ended speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down to the well and drew water. And I said to her, Let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, Drink, and I will give your camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her, and she said, Whose daughter art thou? And she said, The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare to him. And I put an earring on her face and the bracelets upon her hands. Now we know that word face, the Hebrew language, the word face covers the whole appearance there. So it could be ear, nose, cheeks, lips, whatever, the whole face. And the bracelets upon her hands, and we've already talked about them, what it speaks of. He gave her the ability to speak and hear the word of God and to do the works of God. And I bowed my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter to his son. And now if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, The thing, and literally the word thing is dabar. These words proceed from God. We cannot speak to you bad or good. You hear what he said? He said, These words proceed from God. And I can't speak what? Bad or good. You know what he's saying? I can't speak from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Because God's word has just come forth. I can't say anything. So anything, when God's word comes forth, if I have anything to say about it, what am I doing? I'm adding something from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You're not supposed to add to God's word. You're supposed to listen to what it says and understand it, not add to it or take away from it. Behold, Rebekah is before you. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. They've recognized it as the word of God. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord and bowed himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. Isn't it amazing that she got the silver and gold, the redemption, and the nature of God, and the raiment, which is the covering or a righteousness of God? And the rest of them got what? Gifts. Just gifts. She was the chosen one. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. Tarried when? As long as they were in darkness and ignorance, they tarried. Remember Jacob's story? He wrestled with God all night. In your time of ignorance, that's when you wrestle with God. So he spent through the night. And now remember, this night was just beginning when he came in, because it was in the evening, which is the beginning of the day. And the day begins in a darkness. The day begins in a dusk. And as the day goes on, guess what happens to the day? It gets dark before it gets clear. It gets darker before it gets light. Okay? So they had to go through a time of darkness, which is a natural thing. And they rose up in the morning. What is the morning? Christ. He is the morning star. So he comes up. They go into the time of darkness, and they rose up in the morning. They rose up in Christ. Okay? And said, Send me away to my master and my brother. And her mother said, Let the damsel or the girl abide with us a few days, at least 10. After that she shall go. What are they saying? Let's keep her under the law a little bit longer. They're wanting to keep her under the law a little bit longer. And he said to them, Delay me not. Seeing the Lord has prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master. What he's saying is, hey, look, you already said that this was the word of the Lord. Now, what are you doing adding something to it? I was sent here to gather something and go back. Don't hinder me from doing my task. And they said, We will call the girl and inquire of her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said to her, Wilt you go with this man? And she said, Yes, amen, I'm going. Sure it is. She went against her father's rules and her mother's rules about trying to keep her in the house another 10 days. She said, Nope. I'm going. There's only one answer to God. Sure we have. When you hear God, you have one option. Yes and amen. That's the only option you got. And she knew the call. She was the one who went back, first of all, and told her mother's house about what was going on, didn't she? And that brought forth the son, Laban. Okay? And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, "You are our sister. Become the mother of thousands of millions." And that's not what it says. It says, become mother of thousands of myriads. That's an indefinite number. It's not said million. They put millions there because they didn't know what else to say. That was just translated. It's an indefinite number. Become the mother of, guess what? The indefinite. What is the indefinite number? Does anybody know what the number of the indefinite number is? Let me show you. This is the number of the indefinite number. Right there it is. She become the mother of all. That's the indefinite number. Because God is going to reconcile all people, then what would be the indefinite number? All. Okay. And let your seed do what? Let your seed possess or occupy or inherit. There's all these words are all coming out the same word. The gate of those which hate them. Now, possess, occupy, and inherit. Which one do you think really fits the best? Does God want you to occupy? Occupy is a military term. You've taken it from them and you're going to keep it. Okay? Possession speaks of something. It's mine. I'm going to get it. But when it says, let them inherit it, that's something that is given to you. Which one do you think this should be? It should be inherit. And let them inherit the seed of those that hate them. Okay? There's a place in Scripture where it says, the wicked heap up for the righteous in Proverbs. Them bring to us. We don't have to go and take anything from them. We can inherit all things, can't we? If we follow his pattern, we'll inherit all things. Huh? Go along with waiting. Yes, it would. You've got to wait upon your inheritance. I find out something about inheritance dealing with my children. You know, sometimes the joke is we're out and spending our children's inheritance. And inheritance is not until someone dies. So until I'm dead, there's no inheritance that I'm spending. It's just, it's mine and my wife to do with until we die. Then they can have their inheritance. So until someone dies, there's no inheritance. So that's telling me, let them inherit it. Someone's going to die before they get that. I know who it is, too. Me and you. Okay. And Rebekah rose and her girls, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well of Lahairoi, the well of the living one, my seer. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the Christ of God. He said, this is my well. This is my supply of everything comes from him. He's giving everything back to the Father. Because he dwelt in the what? South country. South speaks of parched. I think it's the word Negev in Hebrew. It speaks of a parched area. So guess what this land in we live is? This land that we live in today. What is it? Spiritually. It's a parched, dry land. Because we got churches on every street corner facing each other and having spitting contests. But there's a famine for the word of God in this land. It's dry. There's a drought here. Because no one's speaking the word of God. They're speaking the doctrines of men versus the word of God, which will bring life back to this parched ground. Okay? And he was living in this parched country. Now, Isaac was living in the same land that his father Abraham lived in, which was what? The land of Canaan, which was a land of heathens, right? The low degree people. Okay, so we have to realize that's where he was still at, and they bring the water to him. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. He said it would be necessary to take us out of the world to keep us protected. He said, I don't want you to do that. I want you to protect them in the world. John 17. Okay? And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at when? It says toward evening. Something tells me there's a new good day going to start here. A new day, evening tide with a new day beginning. It was at the end of the day when he went out there. He lifted up his eyes, he looked afar off, and he saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted the camel. And she said to the servant, now wait a minute. She got off the beastly nature. She got off the Adamic humanistic way of thinking and believing, and she saw there was another source, and it was standing right out there. It was the Christ standing out there. It's not man's doctrines and traditions that get you there. Sometimes you have to lighten the ship with your own hands, don't you? The bride has to make herself ready, doesn't she, to see her man. And when she saw her man, she went and got him. Is that right? And that's what's going to happen in us. When your soul comes to your female side, comes to understand who your man really is, and sees that Christ within yourself. And see, there's why we live in condemnation and guilt, because we can't see the Christ within ourselves. It's real easy to look out there and say, oh, I see Christ in you. But when are you going to look and see Christ in yourself? So you got to take it internally. If you can't take it internally, you're missing the whole point, because God's dwelling inside. But anyway, she jumped off the camel and she went and said, because she had said to the servant, what man is this that walks in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore, she took a veil and covered herself. Humility. She took on the righteousness and covered herself. She knew what she was supposed to do. She'd been trained. Don't you know she'd been talking with this Spirit all the way across the desert? How many of us commune with the Spirit of God in our journey? If we don't, we're talking with something else, aren't we? There's only two men in the earth. For the bride, the bridegroom. There's only two men in the earth. One will be taken, and one will be left. Now, which one do you think is going to be taken? I think the earthy man's going to go, the beast man. And the Christ is going to be left. So she recognized there's a man in the field. She just asked, which one is it? She knew what she's looking for. She just needed someone to give her some direction. And the Spirit's the one that gives you that direction. And the servant said to my master, therefore she took the veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. And Isaac brought her to her mother's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted or consoled after his mother's death. Again, we talked about the last time we talked through this, the marriage thing that people have put this on people in condemnation and guilt. Was there a preacher here preaching a wedding? Was there a marriage license? And because we have evolved in humanity, because humanity wants you to marry the state of Ohio or the state of Kentucky or any other state, they want you to marry the state so they can control you and make money. And if you have to get divorced, then they want money out of that too. See, it's just a cycle that they want you in and out of. I'm not telling people not to get married. I marry people. But that's not the point. The point is there's no rules and regulations in this book, in God's book, that says I have to have a piece of paper. That's man's rules of society. I understand it works better financially for us because of the system set up, but marriage is made in the heart of man, not in a piece of paper, not by a preacher saying words. You know, when every one of us got in here as married, got married, we made the decision in our heart to be married before we ever went and got that consummated by the preacher, you know. Sure he did. And it's not about a piece of paper, but we have it in our society, that's fine. You know, I have a piece of paper and I sign pieces of paper. Doesn't make any difference. But the marriage is made before we ever come together with a meeting to have a marriage. Okay? Yes? Well, if the word death is not there, but she had died. See, she had already died. Go ahead. Leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife. And his mother and father needed to die for him to separate in their culture. And now, you don't have to physically have to die, but you have to die to their authority over you. When you become a man or a woman, it's not for mom and dad to tell you what to do anymore. I know it's hard for moms and dads to lay it down. because they still see you as that little baby over there. Yeah. And that's my baby. Well, no. When we become a man or a woman, then we got to do our own thinking and make our own decisions. That's why he said you leave your mother and father and cleave unto your wife, to your spouse. Because you have to make your own decisions. If you don't, are you living your own life? Under the law, back in biblical days, in the Old Testament, the son stayed in father's house. They all lived together. And dad was the boss until they died. And they still do that in that part of the world. So you don't have any right to be yourself until your dad's gone. And if you've got an older brother, you're still in trouble. Yeah. The next one steps up and takes some things for you. That's why you have the problem you have in the Middle East. Because no one gets to be themselves except the top dog. Okay. The oldest person gets it all. And that's not what God's doing. And if you go look at it, God never chose the first in any of them. It was always the second or the third. It was always somewhere down. What about David? He was number 8. He was the 8th son. Yep. See? God always blows away man's tradition. And tradition is not something that I care much for. It's not good for the bad, is it? Watching. Some things are dangerous. But I don't like tradition. I like people to be who they are, to be yourself. It doesn't mean that you have to be what I think you should be. I like you to be yourself. He has to learn. No. Sure he does. Well, he's at a time of learning right now. Anyway, anybody else got any comment or questions or rocks to throw or stones, anything? I'll finish up, and we've got a big supply of food back there we're going to get into, okay?